This audio brought to you by victory06.org.
Really important to us, we support each other, and this is one of those things. And I, more importantly, So I feel like in the long run, it's going to be the best for our children and our grandchildren for him to do this. And we try to stay very involved with him. I mean, when he was in Iraq, we couldn't be with him, but now we can be with him on weekends and some of the events. So I work very hard to keep the family together, even if it is kind of tiring. It's very important to me that the kids see him and be around him. It's very important to Paul. If we didn't do that, Paul wouldn't be, I don't think, because he is there. That gives him energy, and after last year, it's so much better this year. Last year was really rough, so I always have that to compare it to. It's all relative. You know, no one's shooting at him. I know where he is tonight. It's much better. And like I said, the message from the beginning of this whole war, you know, Paul and I had very strong feelings about it, and it's just the right thing to do. You know, he's a gifted person, and he needs to use his gift as a leader when the country needs him. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that was great, thanks. Anybody else up there with a question?
I'll jump in. I have a
question. This is who? Oh, hey there. Go ahead.
Okay. First, Judy, I wanted to thank you for doing it. I think this was really awesome that you're taking the call. This is my first conference call, so you're the one I would have loved to, talk to if I could just go. I think what is most awesome is that you're getting a chance to get across the kind of sacrifice not only the wives make as far as military service, but as far as running for politics. I think as a wife myself, that's something that we're the quiet force behind everything that's happening. And I'd like to know, what do you do for yourself to try and center yourself, because this, of course, there's a lot more stress and pressure on your family, and you're the one that's there holding everything up.
I'm not sure exactly you're asking. What do I do for myself?
Yeah, what do you do for yourself?
Do you mean, like, my leisure time?
Do you have 10 minutes? Do you do, like, to take a walk? Do you shut yourself in?
I used to be an avid runner, and I ran a lot. And until I had three kids. I could always put two kids in the jogger, but three kids just didn't work. But I do, I like to ride horses, and I do take time out. A couple times a month, I lease a horse and I go off, into the wilderness of Indian Hill and just kind of reflect on everything and appreciate things, the beauty of nature and the beauty of horses, and just get away from everything. I do that for myself once a month. And sometimes I take the kids with me, and that's always fun. But there's not a lot of time, frankly. And you know, this time of the year, things are real busy, and I do have babysitter who comes 3 hours every week on Tuesdays, and that's my time to take care of stuff. And sometimes it's taking care of tasks, but other times it's doing fun things like going horseback riding or running. But Paul and I are both very athletic, and it's just part of our mental, it kind of helps us mentally to be that way. That's it.
That's good things. I just wanted to make sure you were doing something for you too. No round about the issue.
You know what? I write a lot too. I keep journals for all the kids, and I write letters to them that they will get when they are adults, to kind of remember the feelings that I have about this very difficult time. Difficult but exciting.
That's awesome.
The writing helps a lot because I can focus on each child and send them a message that they don't understand now, but when they're adults, they'll be able to read it and kind of figure out where I was coming from.
I have five, and I did that with Theo.
Really?
Yeah, and it was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
I did give them theirs when they graduated.
Did you? That's great. You know,
I'm glad you're doing that, because that's something that they look back on, and it really is something that they treasure.
Is so curious about it, and she always wants to read it. But, you know, just the mystery of it is exciting for her, and when she gets that, I'm sure she'll treasure it. But for me, it helps me to think through things as well. You know, when you write things sometimes, it helps you kind of think things through pretty thoroughly and make sense of everything. And so it's for me as well.
Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Lindsay from Montreal. Hey, I was just wondering if Susie would mind talking a bit about sort of our career, just generally, the sort of what she's been doing, you know,
I majored in psychology when I was at Case Western Reserve, and that's where I met Paul. And then we kind of went our separate ways for a couple of years so we could pursue our graduate education. I went to Scott William and Mary. I was there for 3 years, and then while Paul was in law school, and then he went back. He got into the Marine Corps. Well, he was in the Marine Corps the whole time, but he actually was finished with law school, so he went to Japan, and that time we'd been apart for about a year, and we kind of decided that we knew that we wanted to be together, so I left William and Mary and joined him in Okinawa. Then we came back to Cincinnati, and I finished my doctorate here at UC, and I focused on early childhood development, language development, and to be honest, you know, I finished my doctorate when Seamus was, when I was pregnant with Seamus, and after that I did a little bit in private practice. But since the kids have been born, I haven't done that much. I worked in the school district as a school psychologist for about 10 years before I had my children. And I worked in private practice as well. And I also worked in mental health services, working with child abuse. So I kind of had a well-rounded experience before I had children. So when I had children, I kind of felt like I kind of got a lot of that out of my system, and I really wanted to stay home. So even though that wasn't the plan, I just wanted to be home. So that's kind of why I took that, made that decision.
Great. Thank you for giving up.
Sure.
Hey,
Frank.
I worked in the school district for about 10 years, and I often saw kids who kind of thought out of the box, kids who are kind of unique, creative. They oftentimes didn't get the right type of attention. I don't know how to say that. As a school psychologist, these kids were brought to me. A lot of teachers wanted them fixed or wanted them out of the classroom, wanted them to conform more to what was going on in the classroom. And to be perfectly honest, I kind of see some of my children kind of fall into that category to some degree, and imagine that, the apple doesn't start falling from the tree with Paul. Anyway, I just felt I had a good education and I could provide a lot for them at home. There's so much to be learned at home. I felt like I could do a good job with my kids at home without having them stigmatized for whatever reason, whether it's distractibility or just being kind of out-of-the-box thinkers, so that as much as I could, for as long as I could, until I felt like they would benefit more from being in school. And at this point, my oldest daughter, she's at the point where she really thrives on social experiences, and I felt like I couldn't offer that to her at home as much as I could in the school. So now she's in school and she's digging it. She likes it a lot. She knows she's always able to come home if she wants to learn home, and I'd be happy to have her back again. But I think for right now, she wants her own independence from the family, which is great. She's 5 is at home, and he has no intention of ever going to school. He's told me that, which is fine. He probably will one day be more ready for that. But, frankly, I really enjoy teaching him. And like I said, there's so much to be learned at home and in our environment. We do a lot outside. We live on a river, so we spend a lot of time at the river studying nature and in the woods. And frankly, I can't imagine my kids being in the building all day. They're very outside kids. They like to be outside, and I like to be outside, so we do a lot outside. And the schools can't really accommodate that. So that's pretty much why. It's never been for any religious reasons. People have speculated at the beginning. We kind of the opposite. We just do it because, you know, we think we could do a good job at home. And I think we have. I'm proud of my kids. They're neat kids. So that's why.
Anybody else?
Oh, yeah. This is Old Hines. I've got a question, sir. I really liked your comments about writing. I'm sure that resonates with a lot of the bloggers on the phone call. And I'm wondering, can you military roads, I've heard a bunch of them that are just incredibly powerful. And with that, do you read just blog in general? Do you blog at all? Or if you consider blogging, go ahead.
I didn't know what a blog was until Paul ran for Congress, and to get towards the end of the campaign, I just decided first of all, I don't have the time, to be honest. It's very difficult to have time teaching the kids and supporting Paul and just trying to keep up with things. I really don't have time to read the blogs, and frankly, when I started seeing some nasty stuff, I just decided that I was done with that, so I don't read the blogs. Does that answer your question? I just don't read them. It's distracting to me. I have to focus on my family and supporting Paul, but the blogs distract me to some degree.
Yeah, so I wasn't thinking so much about the political blogs because I know how distracting they can be, but there's a wonderful genre of military roads blogs.
And I wish I had known that when Paul was overseas, because I probably would have, definitely connected with that. I was up many nights, sleepless nights, just writing because I didn't know what to do with myself thinking about Paul. And I got the blogs. If I'd known about it, if I'd been educated on blogs, I probably would have really loved to communicate with other wives. I did not have a lot of communication with many wives during this experience. I think it's because I kind of put it down and I just focused on my kids. And we had a lot of accidents, we had broken bones and things going on. I just was just trying to get through the day and without kids getting hurt and educating them. When Paul was overseas, for a short period of time when he was in Ramadi, it was wonderful. We were actually able to do the video cam on the computer. So he would email me and tell me when he was going to call me, and the kids could actually see him on our computer. And that lasted about a month and a half until he went to Fallujah, which was a real bummer. We could not do that anymore. That was a real disappointment. Because when he was in Fallujah, his facility was so primitive. The computer system was so primitive, they weren't able to, we weren't able to video chat. We weren't even able to email for the months that he was in Fallujah. There were times where we'd be up and we'd video chat, and that was wonderful. And I can't imagine how people years ago who didn't have computer access and telephones, how they could deal with their loved ones being gone so long without being able to talk to them. Thank you, Susie. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.